Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Katerere, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother. It's good to be here today.
Good. Are you well, though?
I am well. The weather is okay, so I am very much well, thank you.
Ah, great to hear that. Well, we're continuing on our conversation that we started yesterday. You know, we actually started with a focus on the concept of predestination, which you actually explained so well. And today, we change gears and shift our focus to the meaning of free will. Please do explain to us, what is free will? How should we understand free will?
Well, free will is the concept. It's a concept that that says individuals have the ability to make choices that are not predetermined by any prior causes or divine intervention or any external constraints. So by definition, it suggests that people can freely choose their actions. They can freely choose their thoughts. They can freely choose their decisions, and that they are morally responsible for those choices as well. So there are two main aspects that come with free will. That is autonomy and moral responsibility. So on the autonomy side, we are saying free will, it's saying you have the autonomy to make the decisions that are independent of any external control, meaning people are not just like puppets or anything like that, but they can think and they can be able to choose. So unlike when God created the sun, when he created the moon, the stars, those things, they don't have free will. Those things, they are supposed to emit light, whether they want or they don't want. Unfortunately, they don't have the capabilities to think outside of what has been programmed for them to do. But when it comes to human beings, when we talk about free will, we are saying you have autonomy to make decisions. But however, the other side to it is the moral responsibility to that autonomy now. So it means if people have the freedom to choose, they can be held accountable for their actions. So most, whether it's a country or company or whatever it is, you'll notice that there are ethical systems that are there that come with the free will. You are free to do it, but however, there's moral responsibility to the choices that you would have made.
Okay, but lovely consequences, as it were, to the choices that one makes. Now, if we indeed say that humanity has got free will, at what point in life did we acquire this free will?
Well, that's a good question. In that, once we understand when it all started, when free will started for us, then it can be able to understand if free will is good or bad for us. So if we go to the creation account, that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 27, I have my Bible here. I'll read. The Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So the significance of this is simply saying, being made in that image of God can be interpreted to include the capacity of that moral reasoning and decision-making that is within us. But God does not end there. He then gives a command in the same Garden of Eden, in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So the significance also of that passage, it's illustrating to us the first explicit moral choice given to humanity, the choice to obey or disobey. So it's a command that is coming from God, but however, they have a choice. So the presence of a command implies the capacity to choose freely. That makes it the most fundamental aspect of free will itself.
Okay, all right. That's quite interesting, actually. Thank you so much for that. Now, is the free will still given when it's abused or misused or used to make wrong or dangerous decisions? Can it not be revoked?
Well, free will is still free will. Free will is still free will. There are consequences, however, to the choices, but free will is still free will. Now, let me just give it an example, maybe, for the country. The country has laws. We have a constitution and we have laws. And in those laws, some of the things that you find, you cannot kill another person. You cannot kill, so that's murder, and there are consequences, consequences to that. Now, someone can say, okay, the consequence to that is you get into prison. So it means your free will to do what is wrong has been taken away. But most of the times, you are still surrounded with the beings that you can still be able to kill. So it's not like it has been revoked or it has been taken away. But as Christians, we do believe that when it comes to the moral responsibility of your choices, yes, you may face the consequences today, but there's an ultimate consequence that will come.
Mm.
I'll give an example.
Yep.
David slept with Bathsheba.
Mm.
David slept with Bathsheba and he killed Uriah. But we are told by scripture, Bathsheba got pregnant and the child got sick. We are told that David wore sackcloth, he cried, he prayed, he was in pain. Then the child died. The immediate consequences of their sin led to the death of the child. But however, there are also eternal consequences that comes with sin if we don't ask for forgiveness from God. So let us look at David. If he had chosen from then on to say, I don't believe in this God, I'm no longer going to follow this God. So while he received the consequences that day with the death of the child and the pain that they had to go through, there were also going to be eternal consequences that would mean eternal death with no salvation for him.
Mm.
So when we look at free will, we cannot just say free will can just be revoked and taken away.
Mm.
Free will is still there. Free will is still there. And within the confines of that free will, back in our mind, we should always remember the moral responsibilities of the choices that we make through that free will.
Yeah. Now, you know, exactly at that point, I become a little worried because we're talking about the consequences of our choices, free will.
Yes.
Now, you know, because free will means that I'm free to choose whatever I choose. Now, if I choose whatever I just want to choose based on my free will, and truly, I'm not restricted in choosing whatever I want to choose. Why should there be punishment then? Even punishment by death, you know, eternal consequences, as you spoke about. I mean, sounds like coercion, really.
Let me balance it so that we look at both sides of it. So promising hell to offenders truly can be seen as a complex issue. It involves both the elements of coercion and free will. But it depends also on the perspective that we have, that we take. So if we look at the coercion aspect of it, if the threat of hell is used as a means to compel our behavior to change, or to adhere maybe to some rules or regulations or the commands of God, then it can be viewed as coercion. So the idea is that the fear of the eternal punishment might pressure me into making choices, into making some choices that are positive. I've always argued.
And choices which I would otherwise not have made, by the way, yes?
Yes, yes. So I've always argued to my fellow preachers that let's preach the gospel positively. I remember as a young man, very enthusiastic, one of my favorite verses every time I stood to preach was Malachi 4 verse 1, you shall burn like stubble. And I would really shove it down people's throats to tell them that you will burn. And people would be converted because they are afraid of burning. And that's coercion, to be honest. That is coercion. But now if we are to look at the free will perspective of this, the concept of hell could be seen as providing information rather about the consequences of certain actions. So it's almost like you are making an informed decision where you have been given the consequences of doing right and doing wrong. So if we look at it from that perspective, then it ceases to be coercion, because it's an informed choice that you're about to make. So you have been given information about both sides. So if a person believes in these consequences and chooses their actions with that understanding, it can be argued that they are exercising free will within the frameworks of their beliefs, not coercion.
So effectively, if I say to somebody, listen,
yes.
You've got choices here, and really, mm-hmm. you've got free will. You can yes. do this and enjoy life, or
yes.
you could do this and die. Make a choice.
Yes.
It's a free will. You're gonna face the consequences, or you're gonna reap the benefits of whichever that you choose. Man, it doesn't sound like free will, because really, no one wants to die. So
I would think that I would think that you can add and say, okay, you can do drugs, or you can live a drug-free life and worship God. Now, if you take drugs, my brother or my sister, there is a thrill to this. There's some sense of satisfaction that is a now kind of a thing.
Mm.
So I am telling you the sort of in quotes positives or something good that you may feel now about the bad things that you're about to do. But I will also tell you that there's also addictions that comes with this.
Mm.
There's also 1, 2, 3 things that comes with this. So what I'm doing is I'm giving you a choice, but it's informed for you to know that doing this can give me a good thrill. But also, on the other hand, there is 1, 2, 3 things that can also come with doing this. So it's not coercion. I'm not coercing you to stop doing the drugs. But I'm giving you information so that when you make a choice, it is a choice that is not based out of not understanding and not knowing, but it is a choice that is based on full knowledge of what I am about to do.
Mm.
I look at a child who just decides to do something, but they don't have the thinking cap, or rather a child who touches a hot plate of stove, a stove that is hot. To be honest, they don't have understanding of what they're about to do.
Mm.
There's no understanding whatsoever. But once they touch and they burn, to some extent, they now remember that, no, if I touch this, then I'll burn. So free will opens an arena for us to choose. But it does not close us out from making the choice. But it gives us informed knowledge on how it will end if ever we choose whichever side.
Mm. Okay, but thank you so much. Now, Pastor, what responsibilities then would come with free will as we wrap up?
There are moral responsibilities that come with free will. So for Christians, the obedience to God's commands, it becomes a moral responsibility for everyone who has that free will. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20, it says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. So there's righteousness, there's moral responsibilities, listening to the commands of God, avoiding the sin itself, faith, belief. So there are many moral responsibilities that comes with free will, and God will always push us towards that and give us ample grace around us to be able to make the wise choices.
Beautiful stuff there. Well, Pastor Katerere, I must thank you so much for coming through. Blessings to you. I do hope that we connect once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. All right?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and blessings to the listeners.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.